Amen. That's a great job. Thank you, young people. You did such a great job singing that. And what truth to that song. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. Appreciate that. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I want to make mention of just two things real quick. First of all, I want to give you an update on our missions giving. At the end of June, our goal was to be at, let me see here, I believe at the end of June, our goal was to be at $60,516, and at the end of, our goal was $59,000. We gave $60,000, so we're above our goal for missions halfway through the year, and so we praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. To see us being above that goal in missions, and so praise the Lord for that. That's exciting. Also, do want to make mention, be back tonight at 7 or 6 o'clock for our evening service. I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss this evening. We have a special guest speaker that will be with us this evening, Brother J.T. Gorham, and his wife and new baby. And Brother J.T. is a missionary the most unreached people group of the world. The most unreached people group of the world. You say, that's a pretty bold statement to make. It is, but it's true, right? Because you're going to find this people group in every country of the world, right? And he is working to try to reach people with the gospel. And if you were here Wednesday, you know who I'm talking about. But who is the most unreached people group of the world? Not just of America or of a continent, but we're talking of the world. Anybody want to take a guess? The what? The deaf. That's right. The deaf, the most unreached people group of the entire world. And Brother JT and his wife are missionaries to the deaf. And Brother JT will share his testimony and things tonight, but Brother JT was born in what we would say like a normal hearing family, was actually in college, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was in college to be an engineer, and started losing his hearing in college, and ended up losing most of his hearing, did not know anything about sign language or deaf ministries, anything like that. But learned sign language and began working with the deaf, ended up marrying. His wife is completely deaf and grew up in a deaf home, and now they're working with deaf people all around the world, and they have just got an amazing ministry. But Brother JT is just a unique guy. I mean, once you meet him, you can't forget Brother JT. I mean, he is just an amazing guy. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, if that were to happen to many people, you know, at the age of 20 years of age or something like that, all of a sudden they start losing their hearing. So many people would look at this as, you know, a curse, right? Why did God do this to me? This is, God must hate me. God doesn't care about me, right? But instead, Brother JT looked at this as a blessing from God. And now, because of what God is doing in his life, he is able to try to reach people that really he didn't even think about before with the gospel. Reaching the deaf people. We were out there with him in Nevada at a missions conference where I met him, and he got there a couple days before the conference began and just started trying to find deaf people. And because of that, there was a deaf couple that got saved that week while we were there. Another deaf lady got baptized that week while we were there. And just because now him working with deaf people. And so you definitely want to be back tonight. I'm telling you, it will be a blessing. And you're gonna really love getting to meet Brother JT and his wife, Rebecca. And they just had a baby girl I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. Her name is Hadassah. And she's beautiful. I've seen just pictures of her, but you'll enjoy getting to meet them tonight. So I really want to encourage you to be back tonight. You say, Brother Andrew, how are we going to be able to understand a guy that speaks sign language, right? Well, he does do sign language, but he still speaks, right? Again, he didn't become hard of hearing until he was 20, so he still speaks. I think, I want to say he may be 25, maybe something like that, maybe 25, 26. Don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure his age, but he's still in his 20s. But God's just really taken and given him an amazing ministry, and so you'll definitely want to be back tonight. It'll be a blessing to you. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Also, make mention, if you haven't noticed yet, one of our missionaries that we support is also with us. She is with us for a couple days, and that is my sister, Alicia. Many of you have been praying for her. Some of you have never met her. I think, has it been 5 years since you've been back in the States? 5 years since she's been in the States. And some of you have been praying for her, but never got to meet her. She bites, so be careful. Just kidding. She doesn't. I'll encourage you to get to meet her. She'll be here for a couple weeks and then going back to Uganda. So, did you bring any prayer cards? No prayer cards? She doesn't want you to pray for her. Just kidding. But make sure you get to talk with her. She'll be here, and I know that'll be an encouragement to you as well. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 12. Last week, we were looking really at verses 10 and 11. This week, we're going to be looking, starting in verse number 12. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, why is he saying this? Well, because he just said in verse number 11 that persecutions and afflictions came on him at Antioch and Iconium. So he's talking about how these persecutions came upon him. And he says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And of course, we come to verse number 14, which is our theme for this year. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Father, I pray that you would just bless in our service now. Thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you for the special by the choir, kids choir, and Lord, just being able to hear them. And we ask that you just work now in our hearts as we open your word. Speak to us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've been going through here, as we come to chapter 3, Paul has been talking about the last days, all right? Perilous times will come in the last days. He talks about there in verse number 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And he begins to give a list of all of these things that are going to be happening in the last days. And many times we have this idea that this is the world that we live in, right? Perilous times are going to come in the last days of the world. And all of these things describe the world. But the world has always been wicked, right? There's never been a time when the world has not been wicked, okay? I mean, it's always been, since from the fall of Adam and Eve, you have murder and deception, and just everything has just progressed since that point, okay? I mean, it's always been a wicked society. It's always been a wicked world. And although we might think that, you know, maybe the world is getting progressively more and more wicked, it's just always wicked. I mean, there might be ebbs and flows of how much wickedness is evident or seen, but the world has always been wicked. It's always been ungodly. And so when we look at what he's describing here in chapter 3, he's not describing how the world is going to go, but his warning is to how the church is going to go and how the church is going to become more ungodly and more wicked, and how the things are going in the world. And he talks about how there's going to be these false teachers, and we looked there at verse number 8 of how Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and how they brought a little bit of truth trying to deceive people, but yet they were completely against God. And Paul talks about how his testimony and his life was known by Timothy, and what his purpose was, and how important it is that we understand our purpose. And I challenged you last week, our purpose as Christians is to glorify God. And so every day we ought to decide, hey, I'm going to glorify God in what I do today. It's not just something that should be done on Sundays or when we go to church or when we're around other believers, but glorifying God is something that we ought to desire to do every single day, wherever we're at, whatever moment of time we're in, we ought to desire to glorify God. That's our purpose, and he talks about that. And then he says here in verse number 12, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." And so kind of this morning, we're kind of a little bit of this maybe kind of touching on what we touched on at the beginning of the year with our theme this year, continue in the things that thou hast learned. And We're going to be looking a little bit about this, but notice what he says here as he's encouraging Timothy to continue and to continue pressing on, to continue being faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice a few things that we find here that I believe we can learn from. Notice he says, first of all, to Timothy, continue through persecution. Continue through persecution. Look what he says in verse number 11. Persecutions, afflictions came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Can I mention this morning? Persecution is not just reserved for super saints. You know, we have this idea that only those who are super spiritual, you know, those are the ones that are going to be persecuted. Only like people like Paul and Peter, the apostles, they're the ones that are going to be persecuted. Paul says it's not just him that will be persecuted. He says anyone that is willing to live godly and take a stand for Jesus Christ, they're going to be persecuted. Now, can I say, the reason why I believe many Christians are afraid to take a stand and live godly is because of this very verse. They don't want to face persecution. They don't want affliction in their life, right? We want life to be easy. There's nobody that just signs up and says, hey, I hope this week is the hardest week that I've ever had in my life. You know, we don't, you know, make resolutions at the beginning of the year. You know, I hope this year I have the most persecution that I've ever had. I hope this year I have the most affliction. I hope this year I have the most health problems that I've ever had. I hope this year I get fired from my job. I hope this year I have the most financial. Nobody ever says that. If they do, they need to be put in a loony bin, right? I mean, nobody's going to say that. We want life to be easy. We want life to be good, right? And can I say this morning, that's not wrong to want that. It's not wrong to want life to be good. But are we living life to be good, or are we living life to be godly? Are we living life to be good, or are we living life to be godly? This is what he says. Yea, all those that will live good. Is that what he said? Yea, all those that will live good in Christ Jesus. No, that's not what he said. What's he say? All those that will live what? Godly. Can I tell you, you can be good without being godly. You can be good without being godly. And he says it's not just about being good. It's not just about living a good life. It's about living a godly life. Because when we live a godly life, guess what's going to happen? It's going to separate us from the world. There's going to be a distinction here between the way that we live and the way the world lives. And this is why Paul says, hey, Timothy, even through persecution, continue. Keep going. You think about the persecution that Paul mentions here in Antioch, which is not Antioch where in Acts chapter 13 where that church was established. This is Antioch of Pisidia, which is a different Antioch where he was being persecuted. And when you go and you follow Paul's persecutions, you'll find Paul was being persecuted simply because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you understand why Paul was being persecuted? Here's why Paul was being persecuted. Because Paul was saying, salvation is only in Jesus Christ alone. That's why Paul was being persecuted. You say, well, surely not. No, that's why. You go back and read. He was being persecuted because he was saying that it is only through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that someone can be saved. It's not through a religion, it's not through a church, it's not through being a member of a church, it's not through being baptized, it's not through keeping the Ten Commandments, it's not through giving, it's not through any of those things. He was saying, hey, the only way that a person can be saved from their sin and to escape the judgment of God is through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, period. And they didn't like that. And so they persecuted him. They drove him out of city after city until finally when he comes to Lystra in Acts chapter 14, he comes into Lystra and he heals a man And you read the account, he heals a man, and everybody in Lystra says, oh, this is a god. I mean, Paul and Barnabas, they must be gods. I mean, who else can heal people like this? I mean, this man has been sick, and he's healed them. And so these must be gods. They say the gods have come down among us. In fact, they actually named them names of their gods. And then what happened? These people that didn't like what Paul was doing, they didn't like the message that Paul was preaching, they started stirring up people, and they said, no, they're not gods. And what happens? They end up going from being gods to being stoned. Paul ends up being stoned and left for dead. He said, hey, can I tell you something? Persecutions followed me. Afflictions followed me. Every single place they went, they were persecuted. But do you know what happens? When you read the account in Acts chapter 14, after all of these places that they were persecuted, you know what Paul did? He went back and he preached again in all of those same places and encouraged the believers of each of those places to continue in the faith. He said, hey, I know it's going to be difficult. I know there's going to be persecution, affliction, but here's what you've got to do. You've got to continue. And this is what he's saying. Hey, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, Pastor, what does it mean to live godly? That is a great question. What does it mean to live godly? Does it mean I follow a list of rules and these rules, if I follow all these rules, that means I'm living godly? Nope. Doesn't mean you're living godly. Well, what does it mean to live godly? Well, here's what I think, if I can just kind of sum it up, because we could go weeks and weeks on what it means to live godly. But let me just give it to you in a nutshell. Here's what I believe, if we could say very simply, what it means to live godly. You follow the book. You follow the Word of God. It's not about a bunch of rules and regulations and do this and don't do this and do this and don't do this. No. It's simply about saying, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live my life and be obedient to Him? It's not finding out, well, what does First Baptist Church say and I've got to live the way First Baptist Church says. No, that's not about First Baptist Church. It's about God. That's why it's godly, right? He says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus. And this is what he's saying, even through persecution. Now, again, when you go back, can I say, and I want to be very careful with this, and we're going to kind of go through this a little bit here, but living godly has more to do with how you live your life than what you say about your life. Anybody can say they're a Christian, right? And we have people that are in politics that say they're a Christian, and we all know, probably not the truth. Well, how do we know that? Because of how they live their life, right? We see the evidence of how they live their life. We see what else comes out of their mouth. Anybody can say, I'm a Christian. But how do you live it? And we're going to get to that in just a second. But I want you to think about what he says here, right? Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's interesting. In Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse number 14, that the world will hate us. Jesus says the world is going to hate us. Now, why? Why is the world going to hate us? Because we're Christians? Is that why the world's going to hate us? Well, this is what Jesus says. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know what Jesus said? The reason why the world hates us is because we're trying to follow his word. When you try to follow the word of God, and you are obedient to what God says, and when you preach that there's only one way to be saved, salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ, no other way, it's not through a church, it's not through a baptism, it's not through good works, it's not through the Ten Commandments, it's not through all these different things. You know what the world says? We don't like that. Religion doesn't like that. Because religion likes to be able to say, hey, you do all these different things, and then maybe you'll be able to make it. You see, it comes back to you. What you do, God says it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus and with what Jesus did. Jesus came and he died on the cross for your sins. And that's why it is only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved and forgiven of our sins and have a home in heaven. John chapter 15, verse number 19, Jesus says again, if ye were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Look, can I tell you this morning, if you're a Christian here, and if, when I say a Christian, I mean you really are a Christian. I'm not talking about whether you've been baptized. I'm not saying, are you a member of a church? I'm saying, you know there's a time in your life when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know there's a time when you recognized you were a sinner and you repented of your sin and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you. If you say, yes, Pastor, I know there's a time when I've done that, then God says, right, not me, God says if that's what you've done, that means you're saved. Now, if you've never done that before, can I encourage you this morning? That is the greatest decision you can ever make in your life, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, we would love to take the Word of God, not what First Baptist Church says, not what Pastor Andrew says, but we'd love to take what the Word of God says and show you how you could be saved. So you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. You can know for sure that one day you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity, so that you can have peace with God. It's only through Jesus Christ. But he says, those that will teach that, those that will stand for the truth of the Word of God, he says, they're going to suffer persecution. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're living in a country where we don't really understand what persecution is. Can I say that's not how our country started? Our country started understanding what persecution was. In fact, you go back and you read the history of our country, you'll find that there were those that would preach salvation by grace through faith were beaten in our country. They were beaten. They were whipped. They were put in jail. They were put in stocks in this country simply because they would not say that salvation was by any other way. They would not say that salvation was through a church. They would not say that salvation was through a baptism. They said, no, salvation is only through Jesus Christ. See, we don't really understand persecution. We kind of look at the world through the American perspective, and we have to understand the rest of the world does not look through the American perspective. There are countries all around the world today that do not have the freedom and the liberty that we have to be able to worship freely and to be able to believe differently. You understand, we're allowed to believe differently in this country. If somebody believes differently than me, that's fine. I may not agree with them, but they can believe differently than me. I'm not saying that everybody has to believe the exact same way that I do, or, you know, now, I will say this. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's only one way, and that's through him, you can't be saved. That's what the Bible says. It's what God's Word says. But we have the freedom in this country to believe differently without the fear of persecution currently. Is that going to change? There's no doubt in my mind it's going to change. But right now, we have that freedom. Why don't we take the freedom that we have and use it to live godly for Christ Jesus? You say, well, I'm afraid what's going to happen. You know, if I tried to live godly at work, you know, people might laugh at me. People might make fun of me. If I tried to live godly in my neighborhood, people wouldn't, they wouldn't appreciate that. If I tried to live godly around my family, they wouldn't like that. Wait a minute. Are we trying to please men or are we trying to please God? Again, we're trying to live godly in Christ Jesus. Godly. He says, continue through persecution. He says, continue, secondly, through false doctrine. Look what he says in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Hey, there's always going to be evil men and seducers, and they're going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look, can I say as Christians this morning, if you know Christ as your Savior, you better know what you believe. You better know what you believe, because there's going to be more and more and more people popping up trying to deceive people from the truth of the Word of God. You've got to know what you believe, and the only way to know what you believe is to get into the Word of God. There's so many Christians, and maybe I shouldn't even use the word Christian, but just to encompass kind of all, there are so many Christians that are able to be deceived by false doctrines because they don't know what real doctrine is. They don't know what the real doctrine is. And here's why. Because they don't spend time in the Word. They don't get into the Word of God. Look, I'm not against, most of the time, I'm not against social media and stuff that's able to be done on the internet and things like that. There can be a lot of good things, but friend, there can be a lot of bad things. And I'm not just talking about wicked things, I'm talking about bad things as well. Where many times as Christians, we, instead of getting into the Word of God, you know what we'll do? We'll just go to YouTube and say, well, what is this? What does somebody say about this? And we'll go to Google and search it up. And instead of getting in the Word of God, we'll go to Instagram or Facebook and find out what somebody else is saying about it. We're like, oh, well, that's what they say, so that must be true. Wait a minute. Why don't you take time and get in the Word of God and find out for yourself? Why are we so afraid to get into the Word of God and say, hey, what does God really say about these things? You say, well, I don't really know where to start. Start somewhere, right? I mean, just start somewhere. Start in the book of John. Start in the gospel. Start in the epistle. Start somewhere. Don't just relinquish that responsibility to somewhere else. Say, well, I don't know where to start, so I'm just not going to do it. No, you've got to get in the Word of God. You've got to be able to continue through false doctrine. We better know what we believe. We better know who's teaching us. This is what Paul said. Paul said, you know me. You know my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions. He said, Timothy, you know me. We'll jump on the internet and we'll find somebody that we've never even met before. We have no idea who they are, but they said something that we kind of like, and we're like, oh, I really like that, and so we start following them. We have no idea who they are. Paul says, you better be careful who you follow. Why? Because they're deceiving. Watch what he says again. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Notice, he says their whole purpose is to deceive. Again, they might have a little bit of truth there. Remember Jannes and Jambres? Hey, were they able to do a couple miracles like Moses and Aaron did? Sure. But were they of God? No. Look, the devil's not just going to come right out and say, hey, throw the Bible away. He's not just going to come right out and say, don't believe in Jesus. He's going to say, well, you know, you can have the Bible, but the Bible's not really all you need. You know, you can believe in Jesus, but Jesus isn't really all you need. You see, he gives enough truth to think, oh, well, this must be right, but then he throws in all this other junk with it. And this is why he says these evil men and seducers, they're going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only are they deceiving others, but they are being deceived themselves. They're leading other people into false teaching while being under delusion themselves. I think about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, in verse number 12, it says, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Jesus is teaching and he kind of rebukes the Pharisees a little bit, and the disciples came and said, hey, I think you kind of ruffled some feathers. I think you kind of made the Pharisees a little bit upset. And I'm sure that really worried Jesus, didn't it? In fact, this is what Jesus says after the disciples came and said, hey, the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying. But he, Jesus, answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. He said, you know what they are? They're blind people trying to lead blind people. Blind people trying to lead blind people. Now, if I was to come up here, Landon, for a second. Landon's like, wait, what did I do? He didn't do anything. Come up here for a second. Now, Landon, if I said, I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Do not look, okay? Do not look. You know there is a kind of a drop-off here on the platform, right? Okay. But now, what if I keep your eyes closed? I don't have anything up here to. What if I was just to kind of like spin you around a little bit, right, and get you disoriented? Keep your eyes closed. Don't look around, right? Don't look around. Everybody else, be quiet out there because he might be able to hear it. Now, if I just said, Landon, I'm going to lead you over the platform, but I'm also going to close my eyes. What?
I'm good.
He says, "No, I'm good." Right? You wouldn't like that. Would you rather me have my eyes open? You would. Yeah, definitely. Okay. He'd rather me have my eyes open. It'd be kind of foolish for him to trust me if I was blind and there's a drop off here, right? It'd be kind of foolish for him to trust me. You ever wondered why are we willing to trust people that we don't even know if they believe the Word of God or not? Now, he's a smart kid, right? Yeah. He's a smart kid. He's like, I don't know if I would be willing to trust you. Now, if my eyes were open, hey, I got no problem. I can see where I'm going. But to just lead him with my eyes closed and his eyes are closed and my eyes are closed and I'm going to be like, hey, let me show you where to go, Landon. What did he say will happen? Both will fall, right? Thanks, buddy. Right? He really thought I was going to make him do it. He said they're both going to fall, right? Now, here's a question, though, right? Why are we allowing blind to lead us? In fact, the better question is, why are we still so blind, allowing the blind to lead us? You see, I guarantee if Landon had his eyes open and mine were closed, there's no way he would let me lead him. Not a chance in the world. But yet we have become so blind. We have allowed the devil to just get us to get this idea, hey, you don't need to live for God. It's not important to live for God. You know, just it's not important what doctrine is or anything like that. You just kind of live your life, you know, be good. Just don't be godly. Wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. And this is why Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, you need to continue even through persecution and even through false doctrine. Don't just be like these others that are just the blind leading the blind. You know, you need to know what you believe. You need to know what the Word of God says. We're going to get more into that next week when we get down into verse number 16 and 17 about Scripture and why God has given us Scripture, the purpose of it, not just for pastors and preachers and missionaries, but for every single one of us. But we just close our eyes. We just say, well, I'll just let somebody lead me who I think sounds good. They can sound good and be absolutely blind. And we just allow them to lead us. He says, you better know what you believe. He says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what does he say? Verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So here's what he says. Here's what you need to do, Timothy. You need to continue in faith. Continue. Continue in faith. Continue in truth. This is so important, Timothy. And if we think about it, there's two things that are needed to live in faith. Notice what he says here. He says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of. You know what Paul says to Timothy? I know you have the truth. You possess the truth. You know it. You've been assured of it. In order to continue in the truth, we have to know what truth is. We have to be assured of it. And again, obviously, the most important truth that we can know is salvation, knowing for sure that we're saved. And again, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, please, we'd love to take the Word of God. It's not difficult. As we find here in verse number 15, he says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, Timothy, from a child you've known the word of God, and it's been able to lead you to salvation. From a child you've known these things. Man, thank the Lord for children up here singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank goodness that we have teachers and those that are willing to in Sunday school and super church and master club teach children about the Word of God. Thank God for that. But can I tell you, that's not the church's responsibility. He didn't say, Timothy, from a child you were in Sunday school and you went to church and you were taught the Word of God. No. He said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, who taught Timothy from a child? When you go back to the beginning, you'll find out it was his mother and his grandmother. His mother and his grandmother were the ones that were so involved in teaching him the Word of God. Look, again, parents, we have such a great responsibility in teaching our children the Word of God and helping them know the truth of it. Grandparents, can I tell you, look, I know it's fun and everything to spoil grandkids, but you have a great responsibility, not just to have fun with the grandkids, but to teach them the Word of God and exemplify the Word of God being lived out in your life as the grandparents. Yeah, we can take them and have fun with them and things like this, but let me ask you, grandparents, when's the last time that you actually sat down with your grandchildren and talked about spiritual things? Not just fun things, but spiritual things. When's the last time you tried to help instill them these spiritual principles from the truth of the Word of God? You say, oh, that's mom and dad's job. No. It was his mother and grandmother that helped him to know the Word of God, to possess the Word of God. He had been taught from a child. As a young man, he had been taught truth. And then as he moved with Paul, he was taught truth. He says, everywhere you've gone, Timothy, you've heard the truth of the Word of God. From a child, with your mother and grandmother, from a young person to an adult now, he said, you've been taught the truth of the Word of God. Thou hast learned and hast been assured of these things. He's known them. So the first thing that we need to do to live in faith is to possess the truth. But the second thing we need to do to live in faith is not just to possess it, but to live it. You've got to live the truth. This is what he says. But continue thou. He didn't just say, hey, Timothy, you've known the truth. That's really great. No, he says, now continue. Continue in those things you've learned. Continue in what you're and how you've known the truth and what you're possessing. Continue in those things. Again, we show what we believe in the daily decisions that we make and by how we live. That's why I am concerned about Christians, because many times we'll say we're Christians, but we don't live it out in our life. We say we're Christians, we say we love God, but we don't live it out. Wait a minute, that's not living faith. That's not living by faith. That's not continuing in what he says. He says, yes, you know it, but live it. Live it out. I mean, let's think about it honestly. What would you think of somebody that says they're a Christian, but they never talk about Jesus, they never talk about the Bible, they never mention anything about God or about church or nothing? I mean, there's just nothing ever comes out of their mouth, but oh, I'm a Christian, I love God. I'd really kind of start to wonder about that person. Then why don't we? We say we're a Christian, we say we love God, then why don't we talk about him? Why don't we share Jesus Christ with others? Why don't we encourage our families and our children, our grandchildren? Maybe you've got great-grandchildren. How about them? If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, I think he talks about the fourth and fifth generations. I don't know how many that is. What is that? Mom and dad, the kids, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, grandpa, great-great-grandma. So great-great. Anybody in here great-great-grandparents? We got great-great-grandparents. That's awesome, right? So that's even to the great-great-grandparents. God's instruction is, hey, you have a responsibility in helping teach your great-great-grandchildren. Are we taking that responsibility that God has given to us? Are we saying, hey, we understand, this is what God says, we are to continue in these things. We are to live the truth of the Word of God. Are we living out what we're learning? Because if we're just learning and learning and learning and learning, we're just taking knowledge and taking knowledge and taking knowledge, but we're not living it out, what good is it then? What good is it? If we're not going to live it out, then what good are we for the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is why he says, hey, I've given you my word. as he's praying to the Father in John chapter 17, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. When we have the word of God and we know it and we live it out, yes, it's going to cause persecution. But can I tell you, we should never allow persecution and afflictions to keep us from living out God's word. We're so afraid of difficulties. We're so afraid of confrontation. We're so afraid of persecution and affliction. But yet he says, if we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be those afflictions. Don't ever be afraid to live for God. Don't ever be afraid to live godly. But he says, hey, wait a minute. If we're going to live godly, we better know what we believe. We have to know it. We have to possess it. That means we got to get in it. Don't just leave it to Sunday morning. Okay, I went to church Sunday morning. Pastor preached a message, so you know that's enough for me this week. No. You got to get in the Word. You need to know what the Word of God says. You should be going back and checking and making sure what the message was on Sunday. Does it line up with Scripture? Is it biblical? Hey, can I tell you something? You're not going to offend me by coming and saying, "Hey, Pastor, you know I checked up on that message you preached." Good. Was that right? I hope I was. Hey, I'm not infallible. No, nobody's infallible other than God. Hey, don't just say, well, Pastor said it, and so that must be right. No, you better make sure it's in the Word of God. You better make sure it's there. You study it. You find out if it's right or wrong. Why? Because evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. It's going to come to a point where it's going to be hard to know the truth unless you're in the Word of God, knowing what God says. It's so easy to be deceived. And so Paul says to Timothy, continue. Continue the things which thou hast learned. Can I ask you this morning, are you continuing in what you've learned through the Word of God, or have you just kind of quit? Are you continuing? Do you know what the Word of God says, or have we just decided, you know what, you know, I'm just not really concerned about living for God. I really don't want, you know, I definitely don't want to have to deal with persecution and affliction and all that, so you know what, I'm just not going to live for God. Well, that's fine. You can do that. You can make that choice. You can. But can I remind you that one day you will have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have to give an account of what you did for Him. You're going to have to give an account of how you live for Jesus Christ. That's why he says, whether it be good or bad, whether we were living a godly life or whether we were just living how we want to live, you can choose to do that. Say, hey, I don't want to live godly. I don't want to do what God says. I just want to live my life the way I want to do it. You can do that. But friend, can I tell you, you're going to be one of the most miserable Christians there ever was. You're going to be so miserable because the Holy Spirit of God inside is not going to allow you to be comfortable. He's not going to allow you to enjoy life when you are going against God. You're going against the Lord Jesus Christ. If you belong to Him, can I tell you, the greatest place to be is exactly where He wants you to be. Not where you want to be. It's where He wants you to be. Doing what He wants you to do. You say, does that mean that I'm going to suffer like Paul? And does that mean I'm going to be beaten, that I'm going to be stoned? No, it doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that every Christian is going to be beaten or stoned or put in prison or anything like that. No. Not every Christian that has ever lived has been martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. But if it came to that, would we be willing to? Would we be willing to sacrifice our life for Christ? Or would we say, hey, you know what? I don't think so. I'm not willing to go that far. Can I tell you, I'm glad He was willing to go that far. The kids just sang about it, right? That He was willing to go to the cross, right? We sang songs about it, victory in Jesus. Why? He was willing to go that far for us. And as a Christian, we got to be willing to continue. We got to be willing to go that far for Him. Continue. Keep going. Don't look at what the world is doing. Don't look at what society is doing. You find out, you get in the Word of God, you find out what God says, and you continue in His Word. You continue living a life that is pleasing and honoring to God by what He says, not by what the world says. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about, Father, I pray that You would bless the invitation now, Lord. Use it to speak to hearts. Lord, that Your will be done in each of our lives. with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Friend, could I just ask a very simple question to you? I mentioned this a couple times in the message, but maybe there is somebody here today that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't go back in your life and say, hey, I know there was a time when I've asked Jesus to save me. I mean, I've heard of Jesus and I've gone to church. Maybe I've even been baptized and tried to be a good person, but I don't know if there's a time when I've ever repented of my sin and asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sin and from his judgment. I don't know if I've ever done that. I don't know if I died. I don't know where I'd be. I hope I would go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. Friend, if that's you here today, can I tell you something? God loves you so much that he was willing to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin. And he doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. He wants you to be with him forever. But as I've said, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died, if I would go to heaven. Pastor, that's me. I'm going to be honest. That's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but I want to pray for you this morning. If that's you, would you just slip over your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking about. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Friend, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you'd like to know what the Bible says, how the Bible says you can know that you're saved, you can know that your sins are forgiven, we'd love to take God's word and show you how to be saved. Christian, can I ask you this morning, are you continuing in what God wants you to do? Oh, I'm not saying that you're going to be persecuted and put in jail and beaten and things like that, but are we willing to even take a stand for Jesus Christ? Because when we do live godly, yes, it will cause separation. We may not have some of the friends anymore that we had before. It may cost us something at work. Are we willing to stand for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to continue doing what God wants us to do? Not what the world says, not what the philosophy of the world is, but what God says. We've got to get in the Word of God. We've got to know His Word that we might continue, as Paul tells Timothy, continue in the things that thou hast heard, that you've learned. He says, you know that's true, Timothy. You know it's from God. Continue in them. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, as Christians, to desire to continue in what we have learned as we've studied your word and been taught and learned. Father, I pray you'd help us to be faithful in it. Lord, to be able to distinguish between false teachers that are trying to lead us away from the truth of your word. And Lord, that even if it would come to persecution, Lord, that we would take a stand. And Lord, yes, it might cost us some friends and maybe a position at work, whatever it might be, but Lord, help us to stay true to your word and continue following you, no matter what it costs. Father, would you help us with this? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just stand quietly to our feet. The piano is just going to play softly.